love God. Amen. 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 Listen, I'm not going to be before you long. I know that you hear me say that every week. But the Lord actually shut me down today, this morning. I think from what, 5:30 yesterday until this morning, I got out of bed. I literally did not leave my room. And I got up about 6:30, 7 o'clock to come and work on the word. And the Lord just, he took me to a place and then he stopped. Because it'll be then that we have a conversation. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we come here today thanking you for all things. You are good. Father, we thank you for the praise team. We thank you for Brother Ade. Father, we thank you that we have learned just through the praise and worship, through the group and through our day, that we just need to trust you. We don't have to fear any evil, for you are with us. And for that, we are worthy. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Today, I want to get in to part 7. Oh, children's church is open. Youth church is open. Amen. Children's church is open in youth church. Let's give God a hand clap for these babies. Amen. Amen. He's good. He's good. You'll have a ball up there. My nephew's in the house. Bryson's in the house. My nephew. Let's give God a hand clap for Bryson. My young nephew's in the house. Amen. Amen. Excited to be in the house of the Lord. I want to show you something. When I told you that the church was under attack and was going to be under attack for a little bit, it's no reason for you to get afraid. Amen. You don't have to be afraid because he is our God. Amen. So the first thing that I want to show you that you can see that is under attack is this time last week, when we called for children's church and youth church, the building was still heavily populated. It was still heavily populated. And it's just an indicator of what it is that Satan is trying to do. All morning long, I was getting phone calls, people telling me why there wasn't going to be a church and all of these things. And I'm like, why are they calling me? I mean, I appreciate it. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out. But then the Lord told me that, one, they were learning growth. They wanted their pastor to know why they wasn't there and this, that, and the other. He said, but on the flip side, the enemy was trying to use that as well to automatically begin to discourage you. And so, but because I believe in the Word of God and I believe that when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, none of this caught me by surprise. So we're going to go as far as the sermon goes and then we're going to have a conversation. And this wasn't necessarily one of the days that I wanted to have the conversation because we have a few guests in the house today and we welcome you here at the Unity Worship Center. We pray that you enjoy your time here and we pray that we see you again. But at the same time, I said, well, Lord, I know there's supposed to be some visitors coming today. He said, good, let them hear. Folk need to know what they might be about. They need to know about what they might be thinking about. Amen. So today we're going to start with part 7 of community. I might call this part 7.5. Because it's going to stop so quickly. As most of you know by now, we have been dealing with the sermon series entitled The Community. As I have said before, this series comes with an agenda. As all of my sermon series do, this one comes with a direct agenda. And the agenda is to properly align this church as it needs to be. Last Wednesday night, I was in Danville at the Danville Church of God at an Align conference, alignment conference. And I was preaching at it, and I wanted to know why he would name it the Align conference. That's what it was. And so I looked up the word alignment or align, and it had a very powerful definition that I wanted to share with you today, because even though I was about to preach on that down there, I thought that was so fitting for the house here today. And the definition in the Cambridge Dictionary says that align means to change something so that it has a correct relationship to something else. To change something so that it has a correct relationship with something else. Not only is this a powerful definition, but it is just the definition that we need today, especially for where we are trying to take the Unity Worship Center. We have to realign this whole thing so that we can be in correct relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what I'm telling you is, as you've been seeing over this 7-week period, you've been seeing me tear the house down to rebuild the house. Amen? And there was things that I saw today in the spirit that I realized needs to be torn down so that we are properly aligned in the ways of God so that we can do whatever it is that we're called to do, all that it is that we're called to do. As many of you know, I've been in a lot of churches preaching on the strength of my book tour. And God has blessed me to be able to minister in some of the more what you would call well-to-do churches in Kentucky. They don't necessarily deal with the struggles that we deal with. Amen. And as a pastor, I am always watching how other ministries operate. And not only am I watching, I compare the things that I see to how we operate here at the Unity Worship Center. And I want you to understand, I don't do this to belittle our church or theirs. I don't do this to say we need to be like them. But I compare everything from how clean the bathrooms are. Let me tell you something. I was on vacation a couple of days downtown. Y'all sent us over to the hotel downtown, and we were on just chilling, just laid back. And I was texting Kevin from the bathroom talking about, man, they got an air freshener in these stalls that is off the it's just I eat, sleep, drink the Unity Worship Center. Amen. And so I compare everything from how clean the bathrooms are, to how nice the greeters are, to how friendly the congregation is, to how the people treat their pastor. I watch all of that and even more. I watch the praise team to see if they're showing off or if they just love God and are singing only to Him. I watch the people over the musical instruments to see if it's about Jesus or more so about how good they sound. But most of all, I watch the flock. I always watch the flock. Not just while I'm preaching, I watch the flock as I'm entering the door. I watch the flock as they come and buy my book and I'm signing, and I listen to their conversation three people down. I'm listening to the conversation because, you know, even it's a time, there's come a time in church now to where we don't stay holy even in the building. Once the service is over, we take off our holy suit, and then by the time that you get to the corridor, you probably get to meet some of the real you. So I'm watching and I'm listening. Even as I'm signing books, I'm listening to the people that's three people down in the line. I watch to see how saved they are. Oh, Lord. I watch to see if they are in the Word or if they are just in church. And I need you to understand there's a difference. Because, see, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. And I do this so that I can come home and present to you the necessary adjustments that our church may need to make. And please don't get me wrong. Again, I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to make us the churches that I study, but I am trying to make us better. Amen? Here's what I've come up with, and this is critical. This is really, really important, and I want everybody locked in on this. And I wish that we didn't have so many people missing today, and I pray that they'll catch the live. But here's what I've learned, and this is important. Every church that I have visited, the major difference between their church and ours, well-to-do churches, is not the number of people. The difference is not the number of people. The difference between the other churches and ours is not the amount of money that comes in from the tithes and offering. The difference between those churches and ours is not the churches that I visit are predominantly of another ethnic background. That's not it. No, the major difference and the only difference between those churches and ours is that the people in those churches are saved for real. They're saved outside the church. They have a saved mentality in the Walmart. And some of you say, well, how would you know? Because I've actually run into some of these people. When they're in Lexington, I've run into some of these people and go, and they remember me, Pastor Lyons, but I was watching them for some reason, and then all of a sudden they remember me, and I go, man, they were saved. They truly trust and believe in God, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea in me telling you that you're not saved. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that this book they eat day and night. Now let me tell you why that's important, and because they are in God, not church, they don't got no problem with giving. Not of their finances and not of their time. I mean, when I was just in Danville and you saw a bunch of working class, blue collar working, middle class families that made up 350 people in a church, and nobody had a major job, but they had a major belief system in God. So what are you saying, Pastor? So they wasn't concerned that if I tithe, my light bill won't get paid. They wasn't concerned that if I tithe, then maybe we won't be able to put food on the stove. They wasn't concerned that if I give up too much, I can't give up too much of my time because people that I'm connected to will be upset with me. You see, what I learned is all of these churches that everybody, it was like the couples that were in church, they were in church together. It wasn't that, you know, the wife was in the church doing all of the work and then the husband, you know, he comes along every now and again and he shows his face and everybody's glad to see him. But the reality is he's right in there with him. I was training from a secretary of a mega church literally 2 weeks ago. And the husband walked in and said, baby, you ready for lunch? We're supposed to have lunch. And she says, oh, at the last moment, I decided I was going to train Pastor Lyons so he could help out his administrators a little bit in what they're doing down there. And he said, oh, well, call me when it's over. And I said, that's it? And so I began to try to rush the meeting because I didn't want, you know, anybody, I didn't want to throw anybody off. And she saw what I was doing and she said, stop. We're good. Pastor, I'm going to train you so that you can train your church. See, we preached a couple of years back about a divided heart, about like when, you know, you got half of the church that's all in, and then you got the other half of the church that's, you know, we just come, and how that can stifle everything, get in the way of everything. And when I came back from Western Kentucky, I was riding back a 3-hour drive, and I was riding back, and I was just thinking to myself, I was like, we got to get everybody all in. We got to get everybody all in, or this is always going to be a battle. Satan is not fighting us because we want to get high, or we want to get drunk, or we're out here in the street. Satan is fighting our flesh on what we're just used to doing. We don't want to be, I don't mind being saved, and I don't mind helping the church, as long as it don't inconvenience me. So if we are ever going to be everything that we are supposed to be, we're going to have to get on one accord. My heart is so heavy today. My heart is extremely heavy today because I understand that many people will leave here and not really understand what it is that I'm trying to convey. I don't think that the Unity Worship Center understands the mission. I think that everybody thought it was a cute flyer when I put the X-Men Ministries up. Whitney, do you have that flyer? If you have that flyer, can you put the X-Men Ministries up if you have it? If you don't, that's okay. The X-Men Ministries was to train people who were ex-prostitutes, ex-strippers, ex-drug dealers, ex-gang members, ex-alcoholics, ex-whatever. And the thought process behind this ministry was to train those who were exes to know how to go out into the world and witness to the ones that were that now. So in other words, we'd send the strippers to the strippers. We'd send the drug dealers to the drug dealers. We'd send the shooters to the shooters. I don't really think Unity has really grasped the importance of our ministry. One lady said from a megachurch, I signed a book to her and she signed something for encouragement. And she says, Pastor, I need to know that you are VIP. Very important, Pastor. The kingdom needs you. And I inboxed her and I said, thank you for the encouragement. I got to see it when I got in the car, but I want you to know it's my church. It's not me. It's my church that is called to do a work that has never been seen before in the city of Lexington. For one, the church is called not to be playing games. That's why we do things that we do when you never see us on the news. I'm pretty sure we help a whole lot of people, and we ain't got half the budget that most churches have. We ain't got a tenth of the budget that most churches have, but you don't see us on the news, and we got news people. We can call the news. We do what we do because we want to see this community. We want to see this city be better. Now, what is heartbreaking to me is that sometimes we forget the mission. We forget the mission. Sometimes we forget how it was to be an addict. Sometimes we forget that we were once alcoholics. Sometimes we forget that we were once promiscuous and strippers and all of the things that we are out there trying to say. We forget sometimes. And every time we forget, we fail God's mission and we let this city down. This is not to play games. This is not to be cute. We have a whole generation dying on a weekly basis. And if we, the church full of X everything, don't get involved, how do we ever expect it to stop? How do we expect it to end? I don't have time for childish games. I don't have time for antics. I don't have time for foolishness. I told God, if you ever let me out of this penitentiary, I will make a difference. God, if I don't have to spend the rest of my life rotting away in this cell, I will go out and make a difference. So I set myself to align myself with people who have been through what I've been through and who are sick and tired of seeing the mess that we see, sick and tired of turning on the news and seeing what we see, sick and tired of burying people that ain't even 35 years old to drug overdose. I'm tired. I don't got time for the foolishness. We're supposed to be building so that we can help. We're supposed to be building so that we can help. It's not the money that's holding us back. It's not the fact that what race we are, what race of church we are. It's not the numbers. It's the attitude. The attitude towards God. Attitude towards the things of God. Acts 2 and 42. Thank you, sweetheart. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 is our focal verse. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know what the problem is in the 21st century westernized church? Big screen TVs. Fancy pretty cars. We're too caught up with self to be devoted to anything other than self. And we think because we can throw a few dollars around every now and again that makes us whole, that makes us holy, that makes us saved. But if we're ever going to combat the evils of Lexington, Kentucky, then we're going to have to be devoted to the Word of God, committed to the church and to the church's mission. And watch this, that means that some of us are going to have to come out of ourselves. So some of us are going to have to come out of who we think we are and who we were back then to be who it is that we're called to be today. You can't be who you're supposed to be now, continuing to be who you were. He says that all the believers had devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, that simply means that what the apostles was teaching, the brothers and sisters was receiving. And devoted means not only were they receiving it, they were applying it. Do you know that you're supposed to wear your salvation like clothing? What do you mean, Pastor? People should be able to walk past you and know you've been saved. People are supposed to walk past you and know that you've been saved. People are, when you walk into the room, it ought to bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. It could be hell breaking loose on every side, and you walk in the room, and it ought to be something on the inside of you radiating at such a furious rate that it shifts all mindsets and mentalities, and we just begin to believe that despite what it looks like, everything's going to be all right.
order for the Unity Worship Center to be effective, an effective force that it was destined to be, there has to be a changing of the heart and the mind. And God and the things of God have to become important to us. Can I say that again? God and the things of God have to become important to us. Is it anybody in the building today that will be real enough to say, I got some things going on in my life that's bigger than me? Anybody would say that today? Now, and I thank God for your honesty. Now, here's another question for you. Can we all say, though, that raise a hand, and I'm keeping God right where he's supposed to be all the time? See, the reality is we keep expecting from a God. I heard a writer put it like this. If I go to the ATM and I push my card and I push the PIN number, right, and then I look to take $20 out, I don't get the $20 out unless at one time or another I put the $20 in. I don't put the $20 in, Sonia, and then come back 5 minutes later and want the $20 out. I'm steadily adding to my account, watch this, so that when there is an emergency or when there is a need or when there is something that is called that has to happen that's going to take $20, watch this, I can go in there and confidently punch in my number and put my card in, punch in my PIN, and then receive the $20 that I asked to come out. Why? Because I put something in. See, some of us have issues and isms that we're going through that's bigger than us, and we really don't know how to even go to God, not because we don't necessarily believe him, but we don't know how to go to him because we've never went to him before. We've mastered calling the pastor. We've mastered calling a friend. We've mastered calling the well-known church prayer warrior. But we've yet to learn how to go to God for ourselves. So what happens is we go to prayer in doubt. Already killing what you're asking for. Faith will never go past the question mark. Faith will never go past doubt. Faith is not going to try to make you understand. He's not going to try to talk you into believing in him. Faith is just faith. You either believe or you don't. So many of us have hell and high water going on all around us, and we don't know how to tap in because we've been scared for so long. The reality is we got a call one night. A young man had been in a wreck. He was trying to give his life to the Lord. He was giving his life to the Lord. And he got in a wreck. It was about 3 a.m. We got the phone call. And the only reason why the Holy Spirit is bringing this back to my remembrance is because I've seen people here when somebody's, I've been in the company of people when somebody in their family got in a wreck. And they, oh my God, and they crying and they're frantic and they don't know. Oh Lord, And I remember that night because we got the phone call and I said, say what? They said he might not make it. The devil is alive. We on our way. And we jumps up, jump into clothes. We ain't even talking. We're praying while we're getting dressed. We're praying to the car. We're praying in the car. We get to the car. We get to the hotel, to the hospital, tell doctors and all. If you don't believe, we're going to need you to leave. We're going to need you to leave. I don't say that to be braggadocious. I say that to say this is where we are. This is how we believe. This is how we walk. This is how we stand. And if you're ever going to be anything that is powerful for the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to believe, not just say. Keep on worrying about, well, such and such didn't. They had it and they didn't make it. And that ain't got nothing to do with you. Oh, Lord. Hey. I want you to understand, God has to become important. Because if he ain't important, but you're asking him for stuff, then that's not love, that's usury. Can I say that again? If God's not important to you, and you got things going on with you that's bigger than you, and you know you need him, but he's not important to you, that's not love, that's usury. Have we ever stopped to think that maybe God is tired of being used? And I ain't talking about it in a mighty way, but I'm talking about being used. The way that we operate in this church is a reflection of how we operate at home, even. Mm-hmm.
And that has to change. It's amazing to me how we try to do so many things without God involved. It's amazing to me how many times we'll say in Jesus' name, but ain't thought about Jesus the whole time. Under the guise of God, with no thought of God at all. We sing the songs, I will trust him. Will you? Will you? If the report comes back unlike the one that you want, will you still trust him? Huh? That's why I love my wife so much. Huh? We done had 90 reports since we've been married. She danced through all of them. She danced through blindness. She danced through not being able to talk. She danced when up until she walked in the church, she couldn't walk. Got to the church, somehow could walk. Not only could she walk, she could dance. She danced through it all. You understand what I'm saying to you? We've got to learn how to dance through it all. We've got to learn how to worship through it all. And Pastor Shaniqua said something that was powerful one day. They was dealing with the praise team. And I said, why are they not getting it? And she said, they can't do in church what they don't do at home. So sometimes we're asking a little bit too much of some folk in the building because we're asking you to worship and you don't worship at home. So you don't know how to come here and worship freely. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're asking you to believe. I just want you to trust God right now. And you're like, but I've trusted God never. I don't know how to do that. So we're going back to the basics. We're going back to the basics. We're going to get this thing right. We're going to get this thing right. This will not be some cheesy entertainment hour. This will be where we come to learn about God and the things of God and to give him total praise. Amen. And in the meantime, in between time, we will be going out into the city. Watch this. This ain't going to be comfortable church no more. We will be going out into the city to win those back to Christ. Yeah. Some of you are trying to raise kids without God. Some of you are trying to excel on the job without God. Some of you are looking for love, Lord have mercy, without God. Some of us are trying to beat sickness without God. And as a consequence, we have been frustrated. You have been defeated. It has felt hopeless. And it feels like you don't stand a chance. But if you would study and trust the word of God, you would find that he says in his word in Psalms 34, 7, 17 through 18, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Did you hear that? The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. Anybody got a what you would call a crushed spirit? Anybody ever dealt with a crushed spirit? That's what that word contrite means. He deals with a crushed spirit. Sometimes you can only describe the pain you're going through by, I'm just crushed. And he says, good, because I specialize in crushed folk. Oh, God. Did you see that in the verse? The righteous cry out. And what happens when the righteous cry out? The Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Oh, God. If I don't stay righteous for no other reason, it's because I know I got some issues on the way. I know I got some issues around the corner, down the street. And when I cry out, I want God to hear me. Lord, have mercy. I don't just want him to hear me, but I want him to deliver me out of my troubles. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9 says, we are hard pressed. This is how we're supposed to believe. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's how we ought to be walking through this thing. Ah, yeah, you got me, but I'm still walking. That one surprised me, but I ain't failed yet. Yeah, you're supposed to walk through this thing talking about good shot, but I'm still here. Lord. In the Greek, the word perplexed translates lost for a way.
It means lost for a way. Have you ever felt lost for a way before? Have you? In fact, I think they sung about it just a little while. He's intentional. Don't know how, but he did it. What Travis Green was saying was he was lost for a way. There was just no way out. There was no way out of this mess at all. He couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. There was no silver lining. He was lost for a way. The Apostle Paul says we were lost for a way, but he says, guess what? We might have been struck, but we wasn't destroyed. We might have been persecuted, but we wasn't forsaken. See, I want you to understand that he says humans did this to us, but God kept us through it all. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says we were hard pressed by humans, but God didn't let us be crushed. We were in despair. You understand what I'm saying? We were perplexed by humans, but we were not in despair. We were persecuted by humans, but not forsaken by God. We were struck down by the enemy, but not destroyed because of God. Is it anybody in the building today that says, I thank God that when the enemy had his hand on my life, God's hand was bigger. See, the blessing of being in the Word and of being a believer of the Word is that it gives us hope. It gives us the ability to believe that despite what it looks like, as long as we have God on our side, we can make it through. Don't make no never mind how it's coming at every angle, how many angles it might be. As long as I've got God on my side, we're gonna make it through. And most often what I see here at the Unity Worship Center is people constantly operating in defeat because they are trying to navigate their lives by every way except the Word of God. We will never gain victory that way. The Bible says, after the experience in the upper room, and all the people were walking around speaking in diverse tongues, and the people accused them of being drunk. Kevin, can you bring me a chair, please? Thank you. Appreciate it, man. The people accused them of being drunk. And Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit, said, "Nah, we're not drunk." And he began to preach to them. And he began to prophesy. And he began to remind them of what prophecy said. This day would come to pass. And then after that, the Bible says that 3,000 came to know the Lord. 3,000 came to know the Lord. And then it gets to the part of Acts 2 and 42 where it says, put it back up here for me, Whitney, please, that all were devoted to the apostles' teaching. There's this storyline in the book of Acts chapter 2 of how the scenario went down in the upper room, and then they got called out. The haters were saying that they were drunk. Peter confronts the haters. 3,000 people are won to Christ. And then it says in Acts 2 and 42, and all devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. I'm a little sick in the body, so I'm going to sit down and explain the rest of this to y'all. Here's the deal. If you're going to be a part of God's army, you've got to get in His Word. If you are going to be a part of God's army, you are going to have a prayer life. Is that camera on me? All right, sit down. I want everybody to be able to see me. I ain't going to move. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm tired. Believe it or not, the Holy Spirit told me that when I was done, this is how powerful God is. I need you to understand. He said, by the time that you get done with this in the iPad, you're going to be spent. I want you to sit down because I don't want this to go undone. I want you to know that I love you. I love each and every one of you. I pray for you. I pray for you. I pray for your children. I pray for you to be everything that you're called to be. This church is not here by accident. It's not here by design, by man's design anyway.
This church is here to make a difference. I believe that we are called to be a last day church. It was prophesied over our ministry before we were ever in this building. I didn't even know what that meant when they described when he said it. But I believe that this is going to be one of the churches that people say, I'm going to try this place, and if this place don't work, I'm done. I'm done. I believe that the makeup of our church, and I'm going to tell you, this is why our ministry is so hard to get where it's supposed to get, is because of all of our backgrounds. All of the things that we've been conditioned to, all of the things we believe the way we believe, and all of this different type of stuff. But I also believe that God has called this church to do a crazy work. A crazy work. We're not here for entertainment. I'm not here to hoop and jump around the floor and make you scream. From this Sunday on, I would like to see you walk in here with a notebook. If you don't have one, we will have notebooks provided for you Sunday. From this Sunday on, I want to see people taking notes, committed to God and to the things of God. Going home, teaching your children, listening to what they've learned in children's church, listening to what they've learned in youth church, and then you sharing with them what you learned in the sanctuary. If our children are going to make it, if we are going to make it as Christian families, we're going to have to be Christian more than just in church. If you leave this place and you are operating in your flesh, you are doing you, you are not doing the things of God, and you are a hypocrite. You are a hypocrite. This thing right here is for believers. This thing right here is for people who are sold out to Jesus. And I know that that might not be everybody in the building right now, but the good part is it can be. You do not have to leave this building the same way that you came in. Satan has had his way through this ministry, part my fault, part others, part period, long enough, but no more. No more. No more. We need for everyone that is a part of this ministry, thinking about being a part of this ministry, to be in line. To be on the same page, to desire for the same things, to have a hope for our future, for our children's future. It's got to be more than what we've been doing. See, I'm a man of the spirit, so I believe in things when they happen. I believe how things will try to distract your attention and all of that. Because this today, right now, this moment is the most critical part of the entire 7-week series that we've been working through. I'm asking for you. Is it too much to ask? How many in here are saved? Let me just ask it so I can find out. Who's saved in here? All right. Is it too much to ask saved folk that at every day at 12 p.m. while you're working, eating your salad, whatever else you're doing, just to go into a small prayer? You could be talking to your boss at work and still be praying. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, strengthen our church, strengthen our mission, strengthen our belief system. I pray for all my brothers and sisters that's connected to the Unity Worship Center and any church preaching Christ crucified. Something small like that. Is it too much to ask for that? Is it too much to ask that? Is it too much to ask that you read your word once a day? Even if it's just to start the day in devotionals. I'm telling you, there is a power resonating deep down on the inside of each and every one of you that you have not tapped into, that has the power, that has the ability to shift and transform people in your lives, people that you've never met. I'm telling you, some of you got people in your family that you want to see come to the kingdom. It is in you. That what is necessary for them to be won over to Christ is in you. It is in you. But as long as we keep on chasing ambulances with our time, dealing with things that don't matter, let me just go ahead and say this. Shouldn't nobody be on a video game more than they in the Word of God? Amen. Shouldn't nobody be on Facebook more than they are in the Word of God? for every time you can post, every time you can scroll, that is time that you could be praying, and that is time that you could be in your word. And I'm not saying it's just supposed to be Bible, Bible, Bible. It's supposed to be Bible, Bible, Bible. The people are trying to figure out why the Muslims are the second fastest growing religion in the world. And by some scenarios, they are the fastest growing religion in the world. And it's because of how they look at things. They say that 95% of their time is to be spent on their God, on Allah. And I don't really care who don't like me talking about this, because you need to know this. 95% of their time is spent talking about Allah. And then they say 5% can be spent on the dunya, which means the worldly ways. 5%. Now, in our culture, in our Christian culture, we talk about God about 5% of the day, and then 95% of the rest of our time is on the dunya, is on the worldly ways. How will we win like that? How will we win like that? We need a prayer group in this church. You know how you know God is against this church? Because it fights against. We've had 4 prayer groups. None of them have sustained. You know why? Because the enemy is against it. Because the enemy understands that once we begin to pray, we have to do things now. Thank you, God, for the strength. We have to do things now where we have to do things virtual. You know why we're doing virtual? Because folk won't show up in person. So we have to do everything virtual so that you can watch SVU and still be at Bible study. we have to accommodate the church now, because the church won't sacrifice. It's funny to me. Jesus sacrificed his life, but we won't sacrifice 10 miles to come to church. We say things like, well, I don't come to Bible study because that's my kid's school night. And, you know, I have to get him. Your kids ain't sleep by 9. Your kids ain't sleep by 8. Stop lying. You say that, but then we find you somewhere else on another night during the week. If you're going to lie, at least be smooth about it on social media. Because I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between a Wednesday night and a Tuesday night. Why was it okay for you to be out at 9, 10 o'clock with the kids on a Tuesday night, but it wasn't for Bible study? Do we need to feed the kids on Wednesday night? Is that what it gets you to Bible study? See, it's with this mindset, we will never. How you going to save the masses when we're barely saving ourselves? So going forward, and I want you to understand, I'm not upset about anything. I love this ministry. I love this church. I love our mission. I believe it's real. And I believe that everybody is in here because they're supposed to be, even the ones that aren't here today. But I believe also that we are called to do something great. And as long as we keep this, what's your word? Lackadaisical attitude towards God and the things of God. Is that a word? Is that a real word? That's a word. I thought that was my wife making a Berea saying up or something. Because I've never seen it. Nobody's ever said lackadaisical. Am I saying it right? Well, I don't like it. But is it a word, man? Is it really a word? You ain't never heard it either, have you? We're going to stand strong. Have you heard it? Woman of God, have you heard it? Have you heard it? Lackadaisical? Okay, because I was going to say, if you said yes, then I was going to say they both must be from Berea. But lackadaisical mentality towards God. The God that saves you from everything. The God that keeps you through whatever. The God that has never let you down. Question, what would we do if God played us like we play him? How would life be then? If we played God, if God played us like we played him, some days it wouldn't even be in existence, would it? Because some days we strictly play him straight off. So what are you saying, Pastor, in closing? I want to be for real. I don't want to be faking it. I don't want the highlight of our ministry to be, we got a dope praise team. I want it to be said when I die, when we die, that we meant something.
whole generation is running this church and the other churches that are about to be planted because we were for real. I want us to stand for something. I want us to stand for something. Amen? So I'm asking you for your commitment. I'm asking you to be committed to the Word, to the Word of God. I'm not asking you to be committed to me. I'm asking you to be committed to the Word of God. I'm asking you to have your children committed to the Word of God. I'm asking you that you have the mindset, I'm not letting my babies miss church for nothing. I promise you, we've raised our baby in the church. We have raised her in the church. And the greatest fight of our lives right now is keeping her spiritually minded. And she's been raised in the church. For these kids that get to pick and choose when they come to church, you are setting them up for a cold failure. Because we've had ours in church from day one. She was born in the church. And she's fighting with everything in her to stay where she's supposed to be. I can only imagine what it's like for the child that hits and misses with church. Over here at church one Sunday and over there next Sunday, the visitation, Pastor. I can only imagine what it's like for the child that has a visitation with church every now and again. And no, we're not going to do everything that makes you happy. And no, we're not going to do everything that pleases you or that you agree with. But that isn't a reason to get up and run. And you have to understand this is a mission. Those streets, they're relying on us. CJ, they are relying on us. Laban, they are relying on us. They need us to be for real. These young women, Shamika, they need to know what it means to be beautiful but be sold out. They need to know what that means. They are relying on us. And if we ain't gonna do it, then who is? Stand to your feet. Let me get you out of here. I promise I'll preach all Bible next time. But all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals. In other words, not only were they learning the word, not only were they sold out on learning the word, they were friends with one another. They had relationship. They were cool with one another. They could count on one another. They could depend on one another. That's what this is about. We're going to spend the next couple of weeks loving each other so that we can give that love out into the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come here today thanking you for all things. We thank you because you are an awesome and a faithful and a keeping and a loving God. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that we receive what it is that you want heard, what you want received. I come up against every attack that comes up against the people of God. And I speak, decree, and declare supernatural victory over every soul that is in this building. Lord, if it's anybody that's going through some things that's bigger than them. In fact, you said, cast all your cares upon you. Even the ones that we thought we could handle, we're not even supposed to handle. We're supposed to hand those over to you. God, I pray your people begin to get a hunger and a thirst. I pray for a commitment to you, God. Not to me, but to you, Father. To what it is that you've ordained. To what it is that you've willed. I pray a commitment to your way. That we might not walk around as just average people in this earth realm, but rather we would walk around knowing that we're called, knowing that we are of the called ones. Father, I pray that that folk, when they see us, they see you. When they hear us, they hear you. God, I pray that you send the lost to your children and And I pray that we know how to handle them. We know how to bring them to you, Father. I come up against every attack that comes up against the people of God. I apply the blood of the Lamb over your lives, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And God, I ask that you encamp angels of protection around your people. Lord, let us leave here today with the mentality, I'm done playing church. I'm done playing games. I'm coming after what's real. I'm gonna be about what's real. I will be an example of what Christianity looks like. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. God bless you. Say hello to somebody that you might not know. Go speak to some people that you don't know. Speak to some people that you didn't speak to last week, the last couple of weeks. Come on, y'all know each other. I need y'all to get over to where y'all don't know some people. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Hold on 1 second. I need all people groups to break up and go speak to somebody you don't know. I watched everybody go hang with everybody they know. Now go say hello to somebody you don't know. Let's make some fellowship in this piece. They thought I wasn't going to call them out.